No, absolutely. I mean, the truth of the matter is that Trump and Trump's administration don't care about these sensibilities. They've had a widespread sort of ban on refugee and asylum seekers, as you know. They don't want anyone from anywhere in the world, particularly the global south, to come to the United States. And this is now just a further cementing of that position where 12 countries are on the travel ban. There's a few that are having advisories on level two, what they call level two, South Africa apparently part of that. About seven countries in Africa, on the continent, now have travel bans. And of course, there are various implications of that.
And of course, in the academic sphere, it's like a killing field. I mean, some universities, if this law or this is to be implemented, because we don't know about the implementation of these things, some universities are going to lose huge percentages of their students because the academic world, for example, is an international one, just for starters.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, it's an all-round loss, and people don't realize it, but it's a loss to the United States. Remember, people from all over want to come to the United States for tourism purposes, for study purposes, and all kinds of opportunities that is there with the United States. These kinds of travel bans restrict that, it prohibits it, and ultimately it is the United States that will lose. Because the one thing that used to make America great was the fact that they could attract the best brains from all over the world, including from Africa. People like Elon Musk himself, as you've indicated with the bromance, Peter Thiel, Buerta, and so many others that we can name that have come to the United States, found opportunities, and have contributed to the fiscus within America. So, yeah, huge blow to universities. A huge blow also to sporting events. Remember, the United States will be hosting the FIFA World Cup next year. Are they saying that the supporters of those countries that are going to participate, like, for example, Iran, have already qualified for the World Cup? Now, admittedly, there's an exception made for athletes and for officials. But what about supporters? Will they not be able to travel to the United States? In 2028, there's the Olympics. Are all these countries going to be prohibited from participating in the Olympics and so on? So Trump couldn't care less about these sensibilities. They don't like Africans. They don't like immigrants and asylum seekers. Whether you supported them, as in the case, as you indicated, in Afghanistan or not, they don't want you in the United States. In fact, the only exception that Trump and his administration made with regards to refugees was the 49 Afrikaners, whites from South Africa.
Yeah, it just gets crazier and crazier by the day. But when we look at the situation at the moment and where it's going, Los Angeles over the weekend, rumblings, and of course Trump's regime trying to bring out the big guns, saying we're going to get the reserve forces out, Marines out, to put down people who are now beginning to fight back against what they call ICE, these officials going around the country and arresting people regarded as illegal immigrants. It certainly is now biting back, isn't it?
No, absolutely, and it's going to get worse. Let's be very clear. The National Guard has been called in, which is a serious statement to make. It means that local law enforcement has lost control of the situation. It's very heavy-handed to bring in the National Guard for these situations. We can already assume that within the coming days, the MAGA supporters, the conservative ultra-right supporters of Trump, is also going to hit the streets against these people that are protesting against ICE. So there's going to be clashes amongst American citizens themselves, and the situation is just going to get worse under Trump. All the promises that he has made to his electorate is backfiring. He has not stopped the war in Ukraine, seems incapable of doing so. He's not doing any favors to Gaza and the ongoing genocide happening there. Instead, he is supporting the Netanyahu-Israeli government in that regard. So those Muslim communities in some of those swing states that voted for Trump also feels disaffected, also feels betrayed. And of course, the promise of work and bringing the manufacturing base back to America has spectacularly backfired with the tariff war against China. China responded with speed. They anticipated it. And now it's hurting middle America, farmers, people that traditionally voted Trump. A single decision just to cancel all soybean purchases meant a loss of billions for the farming sector within the United States. America, according to Trump, is not such an important player as Trump is making out it to be. They need the rest of the world just like the rest of the world need them.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's a cliche, we know, but it is a global village. And a lot of things are connected, aren't they? And if you break the connections, you're just going to bust yourself in the process.
Absolutely. Taking out the big stick, wanting to beat us into submission, making fools of us in the Oval Office, it scores cheap political points. But in the long run, it is negative and bad for the United States. We all know that the Trump administration, in fact, the Biden administration, started weaponizing the U.S. dollar. Now Trump has weaponized trade. And they think that by weaponizing these things, they are going to browbeat countries into submission. The truth of the matter is countries are looking at alternatives, moving away from the United States. He threatens the European allies with withdrawal from NATO. They begin to spend more money on their own security. This inward protectionist look that the Trump administration is taking might be good in the long run to try and repair some of the damages that has occurred within the U.S. society in terms of healthcare, unemployment, opiate and drug abuse, and so on and so forth. But ultimately, they can't do it without the rest of the world. That's what globalization has meant over the last few decades. And Trump is trying to undo that, and it's just not going to succeed.
It isn't, and of course, just to use the NATO thing as an example, in the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've seen almost every single European country increasing by at least 1% their GDP spend on defense. It's been absolutely dramatic. And I'm amazed that not many commentators and analysts have been watching this trend.
No, absolutely. And the truth is that they can't afford it. They are forced by Trump to do it, but they actually can't afford it. I mean, if we look, I'm not an economist, but the truth of the matter is that a lot of the European economies are hanging in the balance and are facing recession. They
That's
are fighting
right, yes.
a war that they cannot support in Ukraine. The proxy war is falling apart. Russia is winning on all fronts. These PR stunts and spectacular things of drones attacking air bases, it's short-term PR, but in the long run, Ukraine is falling apart at the seams. NATO is not stemming the tide, and the more money they spend on war, the more it is affecting Europeans negatively. And soon we're going to see Europeans also in mass going to the streets, forcing their governments to stop bombing and start building.